thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Looks like Ray is out, bro. What's good?
Yeah, Ray pulled the Kevin Love on us, got sick, didn't give us an explanation, and just rolled out. But it is what it is.
You know, lying. He did pull a little MIA Kevin Love on us, man. Yeah, no explanation. It's funny, he actually brought a guest to the show for our 850 spot. And he's not here.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? My man Derek.
We're not going to go to the press like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You know, right? Because we keep things in-house.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Not just Cleveland. D.C. does it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Evidently.
Yeah. John Wall talks about, you know, talking about family business.
You know what's interesting, man? You know why I think the NBA is very popular right now?
It's because of
all that. It's the drama.
Oh, it's awesome. It started off with LeBron with a decision. That's where it started from.
Yeah, it's kind of turning into, you know, even though the season is an 82-game marathon and people tend to not be as engrossed in the games, but people pay attention because of the drama surrounding it.
Yeah.
They watch the games because of the drama surrounding it. Like tonight, what do we have? We have Cleveland versus San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Cleveland with the Kevin Love issue, and then – just yesterday, Kawhi Leonard, the reports that Kawhi Leonard isn't happy with the franchise, and then Jalen Rose took it a step further and said that Kawhi Leonard wants to leave San Antonio.
Who broke that?
What?
Was Stephen A. Smith or was Jalen Rose?
Jalen Rose went on First Take today and said that Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio because they'll have a hard time pairing another superstar with him. But there was a report yesterday, I think it's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, who reported that Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs have a schism.
A schism?
Yes, over his rehab.
Yeah, I heard that he's not happy with his rehab.
There's
an issue with that.
So yeah.
And Wojnarowski, was it Wojnarowski? How do you say his name?
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to.
Just call him Woj.
Yeah, Woj. He's pretty accurate.
He's very accurate.
He's like the Adam Schefter of basketball.
He is, very much so.
All right, though. We'll see how we do things.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots advancing to the Super Bowl 52 at 8:30. We'll talk about what former Redskins general manager Scott McGlewin said about quarterback Kirk Cousins. At 8:40, we'll talk NBA All-Star selections. Bradley Beal made it, and John Wall. We'll have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network as our guest. Finally, at 8:50, we'll have boxing expert Derek Dog Matthews to talk about welterweight Lamont Peterson being TKO'd by Errol Spence.
So we have two guests today.
Yeah. So, in the eighth round.
Well, I guess it balances out without Ray here. Ray here, not here, so I got to talk a little bit more. But we have two guests to kind of offset it.
So it balances out. We're good now. We're good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like, the world is centered again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right. NFC Championship. Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Minnesota Vikings 38-7, advancing to the Super Bowl. How did the Eagles dominate the Vikings?
An aggressive pass rush, Nick Foles friendly game plan.
Wow.
And double moves. You know, there were a couple times Minnesota cornerbacks jumped the route, like the Alshon Jeffrey touchdown.
Yeah.
I think that was Wayne's matched up for one.
Oh, that play was Alshon.
Alshon. It looked like Alshon was running a dig route. Mm-hmm. Wayne's jumped the dig route, and then Alshon got a little separation or pushed off.
Which he does all the time.
Put his hand up, and Nick Foles, even though he was under duress, was still able to find him down the field.
Yeah, it just seemed like the Eagles' defense imposed their will. I felt like the game changed, and we watched the game together at a bar. I thought the game, I mentioned, you know, when we was watching the game, I think the game changed when Case Keenum threw that pick, that pick six.
Yeah, for Patrick Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. They were up. Minnesota was up 7-0. Keenan throws that pick. Now it's 7-7, and it looked like Minnesota had all the momentum at that time. They had an easy scoring drive. They scored in their first drive. Then the Eagles, the Eagles turned over like that turnover, but the Eagles punted the ball. Then they were driving again. There goes the pick six.
Yeah. The first Minnesota's first touchdown was a blown coverage.
Yeah, it was a blown coverage on the tight end.
Yeah, blown coverage on Kyle Rudolph. Yeah. Case Keenum was able to pick that up, throw a touchdown pass. Then, like you said, Philadelphia almost received the ball. Then it
was a three and out. They just put it three and out. Though,
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick Robinson made that pick. You know. Up until that point, a lot of people, we were in the bar with Eagles fans. They were very, very quiet. Mm-hmm. It was reminiscent of, some of them were like, here we go again, like back to the Andy Reid era.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we get here and then we can't get over the hump. Mm-hmm. But this team was a little bit more determined. And what they did with their game plan, it was very friendly to Nick Foles. You know, a lot of RPO, run-pass option, mixing in the run. Then the defense consistently applied pressure to Case Keenum, which I think we said, I think that's one of the keys we stated last week.
Yeah,
when we made our picks, that if they get to Case Keenum early and often, it'll be a win for Philadelphia, and that's what happened.
Definitely what happened. I mean, the Eagles were more physical, they're more confident. Nick Foles, I mean, throwing for 352 yards in this game. Were you surprised in that output by Nick Foles?
352 yards and what, like three touchdowns?
Yeah, I guess a Minnesota number one ranked Minnesota defense.
Yeah, I can't sit up here and say, oh yeah, I knew this was going to happen. No one knew this was going to happen. I think you expected that coming off of the prior week's game against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles played well. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles didn't play lights out during the regular season, so I think more people were leaning towards, I don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
But Nick Foles, kudos to Doug Peterson and Frank Wright. They put together a great game plan that played to the strengths of Nick Foles.
I'm starting to think. I think it's funny because I remember before the season started, you had I try to keep my ears to the news. You had a lot of Eagles fans not being big fans of Doug Peterson. Some folks wanted him fired. Before the season even started. And now you look at this guy, a guy who was under Andy Reid, you know, a guy, Andy Reid, to me, at the same time in Philadelphia, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit of what he did in Philadelphia.
But absolutely not.
Yeah, you agree? Okay, so
You got to remember, during Andy Reid's tenure there, I was a fan of the Eagles. So I know, I saw what he did.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
did incredible things for that team.
So you see Doug Peterson, a guy who learned under Andy Reid, you know, following the Kansas City, came back to Philadelphia. And he's done a great job. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, now fans are seeing the greatness of what Peterson has done for the Eagles. I mean, offensively, I think when I look at him, I think he has one of the more bright minds offensively he's a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, because he was an offensive coordinator.
No, look at what he's done. He's taken some elements of what Chip Kelly had in place.
Of course, yes.
And then he's also added on what they did in Kansas City. He's merged the two together, and he's continued to grow that offense. You know, it's like the perfect marriage of the spread college offense with West Coast principles.
Yeah. I mean, the most amazing thing is that you went away from a guy who was the MVP. In my opinion, was going to be the MVP in Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He goes down, and then, you know, a guy who Carson Wentz did so much for your offense. And then you go with Nick Foles, and he takes you – excuse me, he's taking you to the Super Bowl. That tells you a lot about coaching. And to be honest, you know, this game, a lot of people – the quarterback always gets all the love, right? You know, he threw, like we just mentioned, he threw for 352 yards. But this was an all-around team effort in terms of the beatdown they put on the Vikings.
I'll take it a step further. Tells you a lot about the front office. You know, you lose your starting, your best offensive lineman, Jason Peters.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your most dynamic playmaker in Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your Jordan Hicks, your middle linebacker, the captain of your defense.
Wow. Yeah.
And look what you're able to do. So salute to all of those. And did you see some of the pictures?
I saw some of the video.
A video of the people in Philadelphia?
No, I saw the team dancing in the end zone.
No, I'm talking. You go look up on the internet some of how the people of Philadelphia were acting after the win. It wasn't even after the win. It's like during the game when it became obvious.
What were they doing when they were?
Flooded the streets. They were very rowdy. You had guys climbing the traffic light poles. Everything. crazy.
Tell you, man. Look, proud for. I'm happy for.
You had people that were incidents of people getting beat up who were Vikings fans out in the streets.
I ain't that serious. Come on, Philly, y'all beat them. Y'all gotta take it to the streets. Y'all already beat them on the field.
It's crazy, man.
Oh man, you listen to Urban Sports Team, my man Will Team. I'm Wally. Did you like? Obviously, you know, like Ray and I. Was it just me? Ray and I both picked the Vikings, right?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously, you know, and the Vikings were the favorites.
Yes.
Do you think the Vikings? I'm not gonna say the Vikings took the Eagles for granted as a whole, but do you think the Vikings defense took the Eagles offense for granted?
No, I just think that they prepared. What Philadelphia did with a lot of the things that I think the Vikings saw on film. They prepared for run pass options. They prepared for screens. They prepared for inside zone. A lot of the elements that Philadelphia usually does. It's just it came down to execution.
Mm-hmm.
Just came down to execution. I think the one thing that they didn't prepare for was a lot of the double moves. When it seemed as if their front seven got home to Nick Foles, they weren't prepared for how Philadelphia's receivers extended the plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think they were prepared for I don't think they were prepared for like the usage of, say, like Torrey Smith. You look at in other games and throughout the season, I felt like Torrey Smith wasn't utilized as much as, say, Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffries. I think in this game they got the opportunity. I mean, in this game they featured Torrey Smith a little bit more compared to what we've seen from the Eagles in the regular season, utilizing him on a deep ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think Philadelphia they make great use of the talent on the outside. Mm-hmm. Alshon Jeffries, Nelson Aguilar, and Torrey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They use them in multiple ways and variations, and a lot of the time they use the guys in ways where they switch up their substitution pattern of how they use both of them.
All right, so this team, we're going to mention who this team's going to play.
How they use, that doesn't even make sense.
Don't worry about it, man. It happens. they're going to play the New England Patriots, and we're going to talk about them later. But they played the Patriots in Super Bowl 39. How does this Eagles team compare to that team that played the Patriots in Super Bowl 39?
That's two totally different teams.
Okay.
In my opinion. One, you had Andy, you know, I think, and Doug Peterson comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
But I think Doug Peterson is far more aggressive in his play calling than when Andy Reid was either the play caller or Andy Reid led teams.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think this defense is far more swarming, getting to the quarterback.
Ooh, compared to the other one?
Yeah, I mean, the other
Jim
one.
Jim Johnson?
Yeah, Jim Johnson, but okay. Let me put it like this. This team is better able to get to the quarterback without blitzing.
Agreed.
Opposed to
agreed.
Those
agreed.
Jim Johnson-led agreed. Teams.
Agreed.
This team has a dominant, like, top three interior lineman and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
And also Brandon Graham isn't a scrub either. No, he's probably one. Yeah, he's one of the better pass rushers from the DN position.
Mm-hmm.
That 2005 NFL team from Super Bowl 39,
mm-hmm.
they had a dynamic playmaker in T.O.
They did. That's one playmaker. No. And the running back was who was running back for them that year? Was it Westbrook?
They had the three-headed monster.
Westbrook.
Deuce.
Okay.
And
Buckhalter.
Cornell Buckhalter.
Yeah, that's true.
This team, I think, is better in the tight end position. Zach Ertz.
They are. Zach Ertz is one of the best tight ends in football.
And I might get, you know, people might say I'm crazy for saying this, but Nick Foles is far more accurate than Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb threw
Donovan McNabb was more of a playmaker than Nick Foles.
Yeah, Donovan McNabb threw a lot of footballs in the dirt.
Oh yeah, everybody
knows. Unpressured. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows that. That even as much as everyone loves Donovan McNabb, you have to admit it. I think the quarterback position going in, I will say that Donovan's the better playmaking quarterback. And I'm going to say overall, he's the better quarterback, right?
Yeah, historically, Donovan's the...
He's the better quarterback. Yeah, you could trust quarterback. You would trust Donovan McNabb over Nick Foles in this game. Now, I agree with you that Nick Foles is more of an accurate quarterback than Donovan McNabb. We've seen him throw the ball in the dirt, even for the Washington Redskins when he played here. But I will say this, comparing their offense, those two teams' offense, I think this Eagles offense is more potent. And I know that's wild to say, and you're talking about a three-headed monster, but this team, even with their running back situation, when you're talking at LeGarrette Blount, Adai, and also Clement.
Clement and Kenyon Bonner.
They're deeper at running back. Then you look at wide receiver.
It's not even close.
So in terms of offensively speaking, this team is way more potent than this team than the team that played the Patriots in Super Bowl 39. And that's a good and defensively, we're talking about defense. Both teams were led by stout defenses. If you look at it, like the Eagles, this Eagles team has Malcolm Jenkins, really good safety. Then you're talking about cornerback play. You got Darby, who was a really good cornerback. They got players. And then we all know about Fletcher Cox, man. He's probably But in terms of D tackles, let's put him
probably
top five.
Top three. Aaron Donald. J.J. Watt is injured.
So this season.
This season, he's probably like, after Aaron Donald, he's probably the second best interior lineman. Yeah. I still think Fletcher Cox is better than Gerald McCoy.
Gerald McCoy. I like Darius who now plays Jacksonville, but, you know, it's a whole different beast. But no, Fletcher Cox to me is one of the best, you know, interior defense alignment in football. So, yes, I still like Sue too, but you know, Miami's kind of ruining that dude. But yeah, so I mean, if you look at it, the matchup, I'm like, okay, like this team is gonna pose a lot of problems for the Patriots compared to what Bill Belichick had to deal with last year with Terrell Owens just showing you. I mean, like last year, excuse me, in Super Bowl 39 when Terrell Owens had to like show you so much heart in that bad leg. And to like propel the Eagles to be competitive in that game.
I think come Sunday after next, you're getting the two best teams from this year in the NFL and the Super Bowl.
That's fair because they were, regardless of the fact, they were definitely the two best teams in the NFL. Period. Anyway, the New England Patriots and the refs did it again. Like I said, they did it again.
And the refs, they did it again. Conspiracy theory.
You know, they did it again. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the AFC Championship game after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You're listening to Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray is out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. The New England Patriots defeated the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-20 to advance to the Super Bowl. What were your thoughts of that game?
That I was wrong in my pick.
We all wrong, man. I know, right? And I was so hoping we were all going to be right. And I was like, yeah, we all got this one.
Yeah, no. Early on in the game, the first half, Jacksonville.
They dominated, man.
Dominated strong.
It was 14-3 before the refs made that call. Put it that way.
The first half, their game plan was superior.
It was.
The way that they kind of built off of that stack set with using Corey Grant, TJ Yeldon, then also being able to use Leonard Fournette.
Yep.
It was, I'm not going to call it genius, but it was a well contrived plan.
It was.
It had New England confused.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second half, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. It was, we're going to hand the ball off to Leonard Fournette. And we're going to slam him to the line of scrimmage for 1 yard. Yeah. We're going to keep slamming. That's why I told you Blake Bortles would be the death of this team.
Yes, I mean, you play the Patriots. I mean, Blake Bortles can be other teams. Can't be the Patriots. He can be other. That worked against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just doesn't work for Bill Belichick. It works against the other team.
He adjusted in the second half.
Yeah, because he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anyone. Even though I picked Jacksonville to win a team, I thought their defense would make
more plays.
More plays. And
they did make plays though.
You know, towards the second half, there were what some people call it questionable plays. Questionable calls by the ref against the Jaguars defense. You and Ray already alluded to it. There was a conspiracy.
Look, man,
in place.
We said this before. Like, it's hard for the NFL to put Blake Bortles against Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. It's just hard. Regardless of the fact, people can say all they want. It's hard, right? You look into a playoff in a football game, right? In a football game. You can call a flag on a bunch of stuff, like you can, right?
And you can call a flag on just about every play.
So anytime you see discrepancy of 6 penalties to 1, and the 1 is a special teams penalty, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. And I'm going to put on my Stephen A. Smith talk. That's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous.
I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I watched the whole game because I didn't.
Yeah.
I watched highlights. I watched some of it. During the last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say. I know they showed a highlight of the AJ Aboye and Brandon Cooks.
The first one.
The deep one. Yeah, like I think it was like 14 or 15 yards.
Yeah. No, it was longer than that. It was 30 plus.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I saw Brandon Cooks initiating the contact.
And yeah. And he turned, and then Boye turned around, and he turned around, located the football. What do you want from your cornerback?
It's a flash bang bang play.
And then the referee stared it down, so you knew he knew what he was looking at.
And then, even though some people say he was headhunting, I don't necessarily agree. But the Barry Church hit on Rob Gronkowski.
He worked for that dude.
No. If you look at it, Gronkowski lowered his head.
Yeah.
And Barry Church led with his shoulder.
Yeah, I get you.
And if you do the trajectory of Gronk didn't lower his head,
mm-hmm.
where Barry Church would have hit him, he would have hit him right in his chest. So and
if
he
didn't lower,
if Gronk didn't lower his head,
if he didn't change the target,
the target radius. Mm-hmm. So that to me, I understand why they do it because there's a big emphasis on player safety.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of those that you might have been better served letting that one just go.
I get you. So we have the question of, do you feel the referees cost the Jaguars? You can tweet us. Hit us up on the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page as well. If you feel like calling in, call in. The number is 240-478-3140.
No one's calling in, bro. Stop.
Oh, I got a tweet, though.
That's cool, but let's give up the facade. No one's going to call.
Oh, no, people call us. I just put the thing on, you know. Yeah. Because I don't have time to answer calls because we're on this rush thing now. You know, we're on a schedule thing now, Will. You already know how we do things now.
I hear you, bro.
You know what I'm saying? An hour, bro. I'm not trying to be for an hour and a half. An hour of power, bro. But now, on Twitter, my man at Russ Goldman, said, no, considering it happened right in front of me, I guess he was at the game, it was clear. It was a clear pass interference call.
So Russ was at the game?
Yeah. He's New England.
So he's a New England fan who listens to the show?
Yeah, well, you know, tweets and stuff like that.
He tweets? Oh, is he in the area?
No, he's in New England. He's from Boston. He's from Boston.
Oh, I appreciate you expanding the audience.
We out here.
The range of our audience.
We out here, bro. We out here.
But I think he's kind of biased because he is a New England fan.
I agree. I just, look, if you watch that play, I mean, if you just watch the play, It's an out. Like, look who initiated the contact. You know what I mean? And then, to be honest with you, he had, what did Boye do wrong? He took away the sideline. Isn't that what cornerbacks are supposed to do? If the receiver is like running that tight to the sideline, are you supposed to
let him over? I know you're talking.
Yeah.
But we have the San Antonio Cleveland game on.
Yeah.
Did you just see LeBron allow Danny Green to just float?
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God.
I was busy making a point.
Listen, no. If LeBron ever calls his teammates out for their lack of effort or their lack of concentration on defense, like I said, all man, you have to do is just put on that footage right there.
You know what LeBron – and we're going on top of it. It's cool, though. You know what LeBron know what he did already on his social media account?
Congratulated himself for 30,000 points.
And has he achieved it yet?
As of this point, I don't know.
No, he hasn't yet. Okay. That's the funny thing about it. He congratulated himself and he hasn't even achieved it yet. He's already anticipating himself doing it. That's the amazing thing about LeBron.
That's confidence for you.
I actually think he's trolling snake. Folks. I think he's trolling folks, but that's a
possibly.
That's my thing. I don't hate on that, to be honest with you. That doesn't bother me though. For LeBron,
I know that's something you would do.
Exactly. I would definitely do that. I have no issue with that at all. But yeah, man, I feel like the Patriots cheated. I'm not cheated. They get their way because they have Roger Goodell and what's his name? And
Kraft. Ray stated on the show, he said, don't be surprised if there's some type of – if there's something that the NFL gives us for it to be a conspiracy.
They have. They did.
And I think – Ray was right. As you know, Ray would never say that I'm right, but I'm gonna say Ray's right. Ray was right. There was a discrepancy in the penalties, which leads to some people saying that the game could possibly have been fixed. I don't think it was fixed.
10 yards of penalties for the New England Patriots. I believe like close to 100 yards of penalties against the
Jacksonville Jaguars.
And they played the physical brand of defense. That's all I'm saying. They set the tone.
But I'll say this. Jacksonville has some interesting decisions to make
with the quarterback
this offseason, yes.
Oh, Blake Bortles.
Pertaining to the quarterback.
Man, he can get better. I mean, he made plays in that game. He made some plays. So you got to give him credit. People got to give him credit when credit is due.
But speaking of quarterbacks, when we come back from break, we'll discuss Scott McLuhan's comments about Kirk Cousins on a Denver radio station. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit 'cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon. I serve, yeah, that's him again. The sound that engine. It's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work. I know just who you are. See, use a. Your arm will probably switch inside your DNA. Follow me. All that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch. Heritage inside your DNA.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Ray is out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. That'd be much appreciated.
LeBron is officially 1 point away from 30,000 points in his career.
The great King James. Ain't he something? Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. All right, Will T. mentioned it on a radio station in Denver. Former Redskins GM Scott McLuhan said Kirk Cousins isn't special. What were your thoughts about his opinion?
I think it was consistent with well, you asked me about his opinion.
His opinion. Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
When we talk about special, I'm talking about top five quarterbacks in the league. Elite. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear, you know, top 10 quarterbacks in the league. No, I want top five. Those top five are special.
Special. Agreed.
Those are guys I could put on any team.
And they can propel you to a victory.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they could probably get you to 500 or better.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Now, after that top five, we probably have 6 through 10 or 12.
Who's teetering?
That are teetering that at any time.
Mm-hmm.
everything goes right around him.
He just scored. LeBron just scored.
LeBron just scored his 30,000th point. Congratulations, LeBron James. King James, we just witnessed history.
And he just hugged his best friend, Dwayne Wade. Is he about to cry? I can't tell.
That's love right there, man. That's love, man.
Jeff, he just hugged Jeff Green from Hyattsville, Maryland. Prince George's County, Georgetown, Hoya.
Yeah, all of his teammates. See, this is how we. This is how will Kevin Love give him a hug? This is how you know. No, this is stuff. This is how you
Kyle
know.
Korver.
If LeBron.
Derrick Rose was wrong.
Was
with you,
the
bro.
Guy who? Oh,
okay, there you go. That's okay. A quick hug, though. That was quick.
You know that was what a man? Quick one, yeah.
Right,
so
yeah.
Kevin, so LeBron was the one that went to the media. Basically figured that out by his interaction with Kevin Love.
That was quick, no facial.
I'm reporting that, but you know what? I'm not a journalist, and I don't have any journalistic credibility, so I can make these things up. But back to the Scott McLuhan thing. No, as I was saying, like 6 through 12, those are guys that are a guy that I'll say, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
If everything goes right around him, they can have a special season or two, or maybe even three.
If Ray was here,
it won't be. It won't be sustained greatness.
Yeah.
So I think Kirk Cousins, it's fair for him to say he's one of those guys that's 6 through 12.
Yeah.
That if everything, as Mike Shanahan said, you put the right system around him, he can win a Super Bowl.
He can win some games. I'm not sure about Super Bowl, but he can win games.
I think if you put the, and this is the one thing that Scott McLuhan always made a point to say when it came to Kirk. Yeah, Kurt's an ascending quarterback, but we need to put together – I'm trying to put together a team.
Yeah, I take that back. I think same thing. You can win with Kirk Cousins. You can.
Yeah.
But you got to put the correct team. You got to have a team that, one, for him to be productive offensively, right, you got to give him skilled playmakers. You can't just give him average receivers, right? You got to give him playmakers.
And even though he had the numbers this year.
Yeah, the numbers don't match – you know what I mean? Like to the output, like yeah, the consistency.
Yeah, yeah, the numbers – even though he had the numbers this year.
Yeah.
And he threw for 4,000-plus yards.
Yeah.
I don't think we saw the best Kirk Cousins this year.
The best Kirk Cousins you saw, in my opinion, was the Kirk Cousins, his first year of true starting. That was the best Kirk Cousins.
I think year two was, he had games
he didn't play well. He started off slow. At least I felt like in that first year, they made the postseason. He made dynamic throws. I mean, you saw what he did on the road against the Eagles, the Cowboys. They were even in the division. He looked strong in the division. So for me, if I'm a judge, and it's not always about stats, it's about how you take the reins and you run with it. And that's what he did to me.
Maybe I should defer to you because you're part of the media and you actually attend all of the home games to report on them. So maybe I should defer to you and maybe I should listen to you.
Oh, my God. This
since
is
I'm
weird.
Just a novice who sits at home.
Bruh, you got to stop that, man. You got to stop that, bruh. So, all right. Again, you're listening to Urban Sports. See myself, Wally, Will T. I know your thoughts about what he said, but does that fall in line? I think you kind of briefly talked about it. Does that fall in line to what the whole – The rumors were about Scott McLuhan's feelings about Kirk Cousins, like he believed that Kirk Cousins was the guy, or does it go the way of saying that he felt that Kirk Cousins wasn't the guy? Kirk Cousins was just a guy.
So as I alluded in my tease before we started the discussion,
yes,
I think this is, you know, Scott McLuhan has always thought of Kirk Cousins was finally put on display on that radio station in Denver. Of course, you can't go into the media if you're still in a capacity of management or an administrator for Washington and go on the local media here in D.C. and say those things. But I don't know if he's still being compensated by the team or not, but he's no longer under the obligation to keep a nice veil on things.
Of course, agreed.
His true thoughts came out.
Yeah.
He's not special in his appointment. He's just a guy who could potentially become the guy.
Yeah.
But he hasn't shown Scott McLuhan anything that he's a special quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to harp on this, but Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, same type of guy. They're good. Don't get me wrong.
Matt Ryan's way better than Kirk Cousins, though.
But I think they're in the same category.
I know what you're saying, though.
They don't do anything particularly great, but they're good.
I think
they don't have the amazing arm strength.
Yeah.
They don't have amazing accuracy. Mm-hmm. They don't extend a lot of plays with their legs.
Agreed.
But they're both cerebral in the perspective that when they come to the line pre-snap, they know what their play is, they know what their protection is, and they're able to pre-snap, do a lot of things, and to manipulate, you know, not manipulate the defense, but they know where to go with the ball.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I agree with you, to your point with that. I think that when I'm looking at between the two in terms of who has more of a clutch gene, I'm going to go with Matt Ryan.
Absolutely.
Matt Ryan has a clutch. I think Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, for what it is, people want to say that he's not as bad in the clutches, whatever, but he's shown in terms of what an image of Kirk Cousins is. You can say to yourself, like, he's not as clutch as Matt Ryan. So that, I think, differs Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. But Kirk Cousins, to me, you know, is a guy that is all process oriented. And I think that if you're looking for a structured, if you have a structured team, say like some of those old Bill Parcells teams, yeah, definitely. I believe that Kirk Cousins can win your Super Bowl. Because Bill Parcells would like somebody like Kirk Cousins. He would like a quarterback like
But
like
that's Kirk the Cousins. Thing. In Washington, they, under Jay Gruden, they haven't been able to find a sustained run game and a topper and a top echelon a top 10 defense.
Yeah. And that's always the debate, you know, do you pay Kirk Cousins that money and with the, you know, pay him that money and omit trying to create depth within the defense?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was Scott McLuhan throughout the whole time who was creating a tense
situation
with Kirk and his management. Scott McLuhan isn't here anymore. Maybe Kirk decides this offseason that he wants to, that Washington fully believes in him and he'll sign a long-term contract.
A friend of the show, Fred Smoot, was on one of the local TV shows, and he said, you know, he can't see himself paying Kirk Cousins $30 million, you know, a year or 120. He said 120. I'm sorry, like 120 a year. He's not that guy. He said, he was like, you need help on this defense. Build that defense. So I agree with Fred Smoot. Agree with, and if what I believe
the is, if you as a media member or a fan speaking?
No, as a media member.
Okay.
Because I believe, you know, my beliefs are like Jacksonville. I want a team to be built like Jacksonville. That's my thought process.
So, and I know we kind of going past the deadline, but this is a question that I think all Washington fans need to ask themselves, rightly so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can pay Kurt $30 million, right? Yeah. But you still need to build a team. Do you trust the current administration to be able to pick the right players in free agency in the draft if you don't pay Kurt $30 million?
They've done well with some of the players they did bring in. Like I like Jonathan Allen. I like Matt Ioannidis. I like Monte Nicholson. You know, he stays hurt. Like, look at Fuller. Fuller was drafted by this team, right? So they've made some good picks. You know, you got to do it, though. You got to try it. Like for a while, this team has been offensive heavy in terms of, no, we're going to bring in players offensively to help Kirk Cousins out. If that was bringing in Josh Dotson, when at that time they still needed any help on defense, they should have probably, to me, in my opinion, they shouldn't win defense in that slot anyway. So, like, it's time for this team to have a whole different mindset about building a defense. So that's my thing. But anyway, Bradley Beal, we got to say congratulations to Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal made the All-Star team. We'll have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network to talk about the All-Star team and Bradley Beal making it. You listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Ray's out. Poor Ray, man. I miss Ray already, man. That's like my quarterback, man. I would miss you too, man.
I appreciate that.
Real people say real things, man.
I appreciate that, but you know, I'm a phone call away, dog. It's no need for you to really mess me.
Whatever, man, on the show. I see you enough drinking alcohol and whatnot. I'm just talking about, like, on the show, bro.
Yeah, it's cool.
Right now, we have my man Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. What's going on, Lex?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
We good, man. You know, we don't have our three-man weave. We're missing Ray Jeezy. But we out here. We got my man Lex. So we good. You know what I mean? We got my boy Lex. So we're all good.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about.
We do, man. First off, man, Bradley Beal made the All-Star team. What are your thoughts about that?
Hey, finally, man. First time, and I think it was well-deserved when you look at the Eastern Conference.
I think it was really, to be honest with you.
You had an exodus of a lot of All-Stars that left the conference this past off-season. And I think Bradley Beal benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take anything from what he's done this year. He's down to just under 24 points per game. But when you lose a guy like Paul George and you lose a guy like Carmelo out of the conference,
okay,
yeah. you kind of open the door for some of the younger guys to get opportunities. So for him, congratulations, man. Well deserved.
So, in your opinion, go ahead, Will.
What's going on, Lex? This is Will. So, let me ask you one question. Do you think if a Jimmy Butler and a Paul George were still in the Eastern Conference, and a Carmelo Anthony were still in the Eastern Conference, despite Bradley Beal's
improved
play, do you think that it would warrant a All-Star appearance?
I'm going to say this. Victor Oladipo and Bradley Beal, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Minnesota Timberwolves who are giving them their first opportunity as All-Stars. But it happens. I mean, they made a decision to go out west. We already knew that in the Western Conference, it's star-heavy. So, I mean, you know how many players the roster holds. So when you decided to go out there, you kind of put your star status in jeopardy. And in Carmelo's case, he didn't even make it last year. So, I think from a fan perspective, Melo is in decline, when it comes to that all-star selection. So not really surprised there. But I think in Paul George's case, I think he really played well. And I think going to the Western Conference, it's more competition for those All-Star spots. And you kind of have to be like Damon Lillard. 2 weeks before they select, he started complaining saying he should be an All-Star starter.
Well, let me ask you
already
this.
Already start the PR chain.
Well, let me ask you one thing, Lex. You said that Carmelo Anthony, I know we're kind of getting off subject. Carmelo Anthony is on a decline. Do you think it's more a tribute to him adjusting to that role in OKC, or do you think it's actually a deterioration of his skills? Because one could argue that the decline of Carmelo this year is because he's become more of a team-centric, team-oriented player who has taken to his role of being the third option and playing that stretch four.
Pretty much a pick-and-pop shooter.
Well, I didn't say he has declined in his talent and his skill level.
He's an all-star.
I said there's a decline in the fans' perception of him being an all-star.
Got you.
Because when veteran players, once veteran players have kind of been in the league for a while, the younger players are becoming more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in Carmelo's case, but you can contribute negative press that he's gotten the last 2 or 3 years with the Knicks. And those poor seasons, losing seasons with New York, and then his start in Oklahoma City didn't start well. He's starting to get on the road now because they've kind of, accepted being the third option. But I truly believe it's more of a fan thing. The fans like who they like. LeBron, again, one of the top, the top vote getters.
Mm-hmm.
Curry. The fans like him, so. It is what it is. It's just a popularity game.
So you mentioned, obviously we can talk about Bradley Beal all day. I'm happy he made the All-Star team. But let's talk about some of these other All-Stars. You mentioned Victor Oladipo from the DMV. Your thoughts on some of these selections?
I think the only, snub, you could make a case for Kemba Walker on the Eastern side because his points – he's just 2 points shy, I think, of Bradley Beal, not that far, but he's averaging
around six assists per game.
And then you think the only other man on the Western side, you can make a case for Devin Booker, averaging almost 26 points per game. But he's one of those young guys that I think the league kind of looks at, just kind of waits your turn, young fella, because some of these veterans, these older stars are going to fade out. So Chris Paul, he didn't make the All-Star team. The big guy in San Antonio, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Did Aldridge make it?
No.
That's tough.
Who should be an All-Star.
Yeah, Aldridge can be an All-Star. I agree.
He wasn't on that roster. And then Lou Williams, I mean, he feels like, he's having a good season with the Clippers.
He's at 22.
You think the coaches would select him, but...
But look at what is he? I don't know. I guess for me, when we say All Star, I think I take into consideration the record of the team.
They're about 500. They came back. They're about 500. They're close to 500. The Clippers are. They came back. Yeah.
Put it like this. He's had a hot streak. Yeah. He hasn't had a consistent great first half of a season.
Is he averaging over 20?
He is, but after, taking into consideration the Blake Griffin injury, taking into consideration the Patrick Beverley injury.
Patrick Beverley's some garbage. Go ahead, though.
No, but Patrick Beverley is a guy who...
He'll take the minutes. I get you saying that.
He's taking the minutes. So I think for me personally, when I look at an All-Star, I look at the total body of work for the. Not to say that Lou Williams didn't play good the first half, but I think if you look at his numbers in the aggregate, if you look at the sample of his numbers, I think you'll see that there's a larger sample of like a 20 to 30 game streak where he's just been on fire lighting it up, opposed to the whole 40 some odd or almost 50 games during the first half.
Lex, what'd you say about that?
He's been consistent. I mean, he was one of the top, six men a year ago, being with the Lakers. And then, now he's with the Clippers, and he's been pretty consistent. But, again, it's tough to make the All-Star team.
It is.
There's so many players that you would say statistically should be there. I mean, you look at the Golden State Warriors, they got four players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, do you take one of those guys off the team? You can't take Kevin Durant off. You can't take Curry off. You can't take Draymond Green off. So, when you got four bona fide guys, it makes it tough, I think, overall, to pick what 14 guys? I think the team is, 12 to 14
plays.
So
it
makes you really tough.
So, Lex, before I let you go, Lex, we're about to go to break. How can folks check out your content?
Hey, guys, right now, I've been dealing with my dad and helping him out a lot. But you can always find me on Instagram and Twitter, Lex Diamonds without the A. When I'm back in the booth, you'll see me Plus Radio, Harris Sports Radio, doing some college games. We got some tournaments coming up, so I'm gonna probably dust off the mic and get back out there in the next couple of weeks.
People want to see that, man. Definitely want to see that. I'm praying for your pops, man.
Yeah, prayers for you, for you and your family, Lex.
All right, appreciate you, Lex, man.
No question.
All right,
talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Lex.
Later.
All right, that was my man Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network, man. Appreciate him talking basketball. But up next, man, we'll have boxing expert Derek Dog Matthews to join us to talk about Errol Spence demolishing Lamont Peterson.
Errol Spence.
Errol. I said Earl. I didn't say Earl. I said Earl. You thought I said Earl, didn't I? Didn't
yeah.
I said Earl. Earl Spence.
Errol.
Errol. Errol. Errol. Errol. Errol. Spence Jr., all right? Spence Jr., that's what he's going to be called right now. Okay. Junior, come African. Junior, all right? Junior defeating Lamont Peterson. TKO'd him in 8 rounds, bro. You listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For Asian.
You dig?
Deuces.
Good. Hey.
that loop. Can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the score, I can get them both. I don't wanna choose, and I'm quick cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a record.
All right, you're listening to Urban Sports, saying myself, Wally. Will T. Ray is out. I mentioned before the break, Spence Jr. defeated Lamont Peterson in eight. Well, he was TKO.
DC's own.
You know, I like Lamont. Lamont, my boy. I love Lamont Peterson. You know, I know his brother, Lou. Lamont's cool, man. I think Lamont showed a lot of heart in that fight anyway, to be honest with you. But right now, we have boxing expert and trainer, Derek Dog Matthews. What's going on, Derek?
Hey, what's happening, champ?
Ain't nothing much, man. You know, I thought Lamont watching that fight. I thought Lamont was going to like at least go the distance. I was kind of surprised he didn't. I know Spence is like one of the, you know, pound for pound, one of the best boxers in the game right now. But were you surprised Lamont couldn't go 12?
I wasn't really surprised. The kid is really strong. They say he's sparred with mostly middleweights, you know what I mean? So he's kind of really too much for a welterweight. And Lamont's a real tough, strong fighter and very experienced. So, I mean, I think Barry did the right thing by stopping. Now, I believe he would have probably made the distance if they wouldn't have stopped it, but he may have took more damage. He may have took more damage.
Yeah.
With that particular style he was using, you know, he was trying to absorb the... can move, but he wasn't boxing that way. He was trying a different strategy, I guess.
What's going on, Derek? This is Will. I like that Barry Hunter did was Barry Hunter allowed Lamont Peterson to go out on his shield. Because if you looked at the last two rounds, if the sixth round going to the seventh and then the seventh going into the eighth, Lamont Peterson stood up rather than sitting down in the corner. And you can almost see it in his eyes that he was at a point where he knew that, okay, Errol Spence is a little bit too much for me on this night. And then you specifically heard Barry Hunter asking Lamont Peterson, so what do you want to do? And Lamont Peterson's retort was, oh, what? He said, whatever.
You know me. He said, you know me.
You know me, yeah. And you know me. Rather than he allowed Lamont to go out at the ring of the bell, but then Barry Hunter stood up on the apron and said, nah, I'm calling it off. So rather than allowing Lamont to stay in the corner, Barry Peterson kind of took the bullet and said, nah, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to call it off. And that's really impressive that Barry Hunter allowed him to do that.
Yeah, Barry's one of the better trainers. I remember him when they first started and together, and when he raised him. He's like his real father.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he had, feelings for the kid, and he didn't want to see him get hurt. And I commend Barry. He knows what he's doing, and he knows his fighter. And like I said, Lamar's a real tough kid.
He is.
I believe he could have endured it if he had to, but you know, you could see that the Spencer was a little too much.
Well, let me ask you two questions in one. Let me ask you this, Derek. Do you think, Lamont's 34, do you think he's at the point where he needs to think about retiring? Because, you know, some fighters at this point, they become kind of a gateway fighter. You know, they're a name, but they're still younger fighters, right, that are coming up, and they want to make their name off of a guy who's a good fighter. Mm-hmm. And, right. Or do you think, and this is my opinion, but I want to get your feedback on it. I think Lamont Peterson still has a future in boxing, but I don't think it's at 147. I think it's maybe at 140. Because if you looked at the physical size of Errol Spence versus Lamont Peterson, Errol Spence, I'm not going to say he was superiorly bigger than Lamont Peterson, but you could tell he was a bigger guy in the ring. Do you think that Lamont would still have a future if he decides to keep going at 140 opposed to 147?
Well, actually, a lot of times the fighter that has built such a good name for himself like Lamont has. You know, he's done everything in boxing. He's fought in the Olympic trials and, you know, he became world champion at 140. I believe it might be hard for him to make 40 again. You know, once a guy, you know, gets older and he's successful, eating good, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to really make 140. But, yeah, he would be probably a champion again at 40 if he could make it easier. But, yeah, usually, you know, when you get to the top of the mountain like he's been, you know, it's a decision whether you want to continue or not. He's already done everything. You know, unless he wants to win a title in another weight class and maybe move up. But, you know, I'm proud of him, you know, from what he accomplished. And even without the medal climbing that ladder, you know, and a lot of times the guys start making a good little piece of change when it's time to on the way down the hill. You know what I mean? People want to steal your name and they give you a nice payday to, you know, fight somebody that may be over your head at the time.
No, I agree.
That's the nature of the business. You know, it's a ugly business, man. But that's what it is. You know, I think all the fighters understand that, and even throughout history, all the greats have, you know, risk their name to make money on the way out. So we don't know what he's going to do, but I'm with him whatever he decides to do. He's even got a day here in D.C. now. April the 25th is Lamont Peterson Day.
Awesome. Yep. That's what's up. That's so, what's up. Know, that's 2 days after my birthday.
All these fighters, you know, he's one of the few that have a day for himself.
They need to have a Wally Day. That'd be an awesome day. That's like 2 days after my birthday, man. That'd be a great one. Wally Day. That'd be awesome. So let's talk about the IBF welterweight champ and Spence. After the fight, he called out Keith Thurman. There's boxers out there like Bud Crawford. Do you think any of those dudes are ready for Spence?
Well, I believe they're all as ready as they're going to be. I mean, this kid is... It was like a lightning rod, man. I mean, he started late, but he has it all together. He's left-handed. He's got all the advantage. He's young. He's strong. He's really not as young as some people think. I thought he was a little younger than he is, but I think he's chasing Thurman. Thurman's not putting up any defense, you know, saying anything back, and he just... You know, making a point to go after Thurman, but there's other fighters out there that want him. But I don't think they really want him.
I don't think so either. I don't think they really want him. I don't think they really want him.
They don't want to answer that phone.
They don't want that body work. They don't want that body work.
I don't think one time wants to fight him either. I believe Bud Crawford would be the best test for him. If they want to see a great fight, I believe it's him and Bud Crawford.
Well, Derek, man, we appreciate you for being on the show. We're going to try to get you back on for the next big fight, man.
Sure thing, man. I appreciate you being on, man.
We appreciate you. All right,
thanks, bro.
All right, Derek, going to have you on again, man.
All right, thanks, man.
All right.
Again, man, that is Derek Dog Matthews, boxing expert and trainer, family of the Urban Sports Scene, man. You know how we do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a good show, man. Two guests. So I didn't have to talk a lot.
Yeah, real people do real things, man.
Yeah, balance it out. Yeah, even exactly. Ray hit us with the Kevin Love. We still love Ray.
We got love for Ray in the streets, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I still got love for Ray, man. Even though I was like, man, dang, where Ray at, man? Where Ray at, man?
Once again, congratulations to the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, congratulations to Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, congratulations.
As a former fan of the team that suffered a lot over the years.
Yeah, no, you feel
a lot of disappointment.
You should feel good. You should feel good.
I don't feel anyway. I'll let you know my stance on
it. All right, man. But anyway, man, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.